Before we dive into today's trip down memory lane, a quick shout out to the fine folks at Remind Magazine, who help keep the nostalgia train rolling. This season, the Pop Culture Preservation Society is proudly sponsored by Remind, the publication that understands your collection of Tiger Beat magazines, TV guide issues, and random lunchboxes is not clutter, it's history. We love when Remind lands in our mailboxes, and we can enjoy that analog experience of flipping through its pages and reading all about the classic TV shows and movies and music and all of those pop culture treasures that made us who we are. And as an exclusive offer to PCPS listeners, you can get a full year of Remind magazine for just $12. That's 86% off the cover price. Just go to remindmagazine.com/pop. That's remindmagazine.com/POP. And you can take advantage of this incredible offer. Trust us, you will be so glad you did.
Welcome, everyone, to one of your favorite short episodes of this podcast, the one where you get to find out what's ahead in the new season. I'm not lying here. Many of you tell us it's your favorite, and we really love it, too. We really love these season preview episodes. So grab your snack of choice. I'm, of course, grabbing a Ding Dong. Carolyn, what are you grabbing?
You know, I'm going to grab some Sara Lee pound cake, and I'm going to eat it right out of the tin. Maybe even frozen still.
Yes. I was going to say, did it come from the fridge or the freezer?
Yeah, probably the freezer, and it's just so going good. Right in.
Okay, Kristen?
I think my treat is going to be a little envelope of buttered meats, and I'm just going to eat it right out of the package.
Gross.
It's such a treat.
I'm so glad we're not in the same room and we do this virtually so I don't have to smell it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, everyone settle back into your scratchy plaid sofa, or maybe it's floral, pretty floral pattern, some avocado green, mustard yellow.
It could be plaid with some floral on it, too. I bet you those existed.
There might be a colonial scene on the pillows with, like, some horses, with a stagecoach of some kind. There might be a little of that.
And the arms of the sofa could even be, like, a carved wood, like an oak, like a shiny,
rolled.
Like an oak.
They're
They're kind of waxy. Someone in my family had one of those, and I used to take my fingernail and scratch it along the wooden armrest, and all the wax would come off. That's so bad.
All the pledge. Yeah.
All right. Well, we are about to pull the curtain back on season 19.
Woo! Season 19 coming your way.
All the sound effects. That's so crazy. All right. So let's just get right into it, shall we? All right. So you all know how much we love to take a particular year and dive deep into it, be it with music or our own memories. And next week, we will be kicking things off with a tribute to the summer of 1980. We're talking all the things you loved and remember, the movies, the music, what was on TV, the books you read, the toys you played with, and the pop culture events that were making the news.
I am so excited about that. That is going to be so much fun. I've been waiting for us to chat about that stuff. And that was an iconic summer for me after my freshman year of high school. So,
Well, and I think that's what's cool. 1980 was a good year for us to pick, because one thing I love about when we pick these years, we're all different ages, right?
Yeah.
We're all like different ages, stages in our lives. But also 1980, I mean, that's such a distinction. But I mean... Very literally, it is a distinction between the two decades, Michelle.
Right.
But I just really feel, and probably for all of us for one reason or another, it really was a line, like a dividing line in a lot of things going on in our lives. So it'll be really fun to not only talk about what was happening globally in the summer of 1980, pop culture-wise, but what was happening, who we all were.
And
what we were enjoying and loving and doing.
Yeah,
because we were all
really
coming
fun.
Of age in some way in 1980. We were all transitioning in some way. And just like you said, that turning of the decade, it's the first one we remember, right?
For sure.
And it was a big deal. There were lots of specials on TV about the 1980s are here. And we just, I remember not even, like, it felt surreal. Like, what do you mean the 1980s? I've only known the 70s. my whole life.
Right.
It just felt like a weird thing to even grapple with.
Think about like how we would have to write the date on all of our school papers. And so for our whole entire school career, it's been 1970-something.
Yeah.
And so now it's going to be a whole new number.
Yeah. Well, and also go back and like whisper into all of our ears, like you can't even imagine the impact this decade is going to have, just on your own life, but on pop culture history for the rest of your life.
Right.
Like, that's crazy. So anyway, that's coming at you next week, and we're super excited about that
that's
episode.
That's going to be really fun. That's when I always learn different things about you guys that I didn't know before. You know, Michelle or Kristen will drop this little nugget, and you'll be like, how did I not know that about you? So yeah, stay tuned. That'll be really fun. And then after that, later in the season, we are going to be having an episode that I'm really excited about, where we sit down with Greg Evigan. You guys remember, we've chatted with Greg once.
But I remember?
That's right. If you don't remember,
I have a big crush. I have a big crush on current Greg Evigan, FYI. Yeah.
They probably remember your crush on Greg Evigan more than they remember us even chatting with Greg Evigan. Anyway, this episode is going to be so fun because he has a new album out, you guys. And it is not what you might think when you think Greg Evigan and BJ and the Bear. And when we chatted with Greg a few days ago, it was amazing to learn just about this whole other side of him. And he really reminded us that some of our favorite Gen X stars have creative lives that go far beyond what we grew up watching them doing or listening to them singing. And in this episode, we're not only going to talk for a while with Greg, we also are going to chat about the surprising second acts, the hidden talents, and the lifelong passions of some of our favorite celebrities that we grew up with. And it's not just music, it's art, it's just unexpected reinventions that we're going to explore.
Home
and
renos.
Owners of sports teams.
Yeah. Yes, it's really inspiring.
A lot of people are probably so confused right now because they're like, wait a minute, what? Greg, yes, we're talking BJ and the Bear.
Yes.
Album, what are you talking about? Yes, he made an album. The BJ and the Bear made an album. And
the
it turns
BJ,
out
he was
BJ and the Bear.
Yeah. The Bear didn't make the album, just the BJ.
He's no longer with us. The chimp is not is
Shut
no longer with
mouth.
Us. Yeah, listen to our
first conversation with Greg Evigan
where we had to broach the topic of what happened to the chimp.
We like to imagine he's still happily running around hugging
BJ. Little chimp retirement home.
Yeah, that's right.
Cheering on
I will
Greg.
Say too, like one thing I loved about our conversation, this most recent conversation with Greg Evigan, besides that we got to look at him on our computer screens, like, it was so surprising. Like, it was, and this is what I think we're going to, with the other former celebrities or whatever, if they're still acting, but the other celebrities we're going to be talking about, it's really surprising, and it really makes you just kind of stop and go, oh, wow, there's so much more to them than what we might have thought.
Right.
Besides, we said it last time we talked with Greg. We're saying it again this time. And we're going to say it. You know, you're going to hear it when you listen to this episode. Nicest guy
ever. Nice.
He's
really, really genuine.
Oh, yes. So nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We love him.
It's a great conversation. And we'll look forward to sharing that with you guys.
Mm-hmm. So then the episode that comes after that is going to coincide with, I just love this. This is going to be around the 4th of July, and somebody pointed out to me recently that it will be on a Saturday. Tell me if these lyrics mean anything to you. Saturday in the park, I think it was the 4th of July. So we will be having the Chicago song, Saturday in the Park. I think it was the 4th of July. It only happens like once every 922 years or something. I don't know what the actual number is, but it doesn't happen very often.
Yeah,
it's like Halley's Comet. So because we will be, this will be the episode that coincides with July 4th, we decided that it would be a good time to address the fact that so many of our listeners were alive and have happy memories of that most important event, the bicentennial. July 4th, 1976. July 4th, 1976 was such a big deal for so many of the people who are listening to this podcast. They got us ready. The world got us ready for at least a year in advance, whether it was through school curriculum or on TV or with entertainment. I mean, Schoolhouse Rock exists pretty much because of the 4th of July, the bicentennial that we all remember. We know the preamble. We know about the shot heard around the world. That was all in anticipation of the bicentennial. We all had tricorn hats. I mean, come on.
And if some of you are listening right now going, yeah, you guys already did that, you're not wrong in that we did an episode about the year 1976 and the television shows that premiered and the great toys that were popular, et cetera, et cetera. No, 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 you guys, we're focusing on just July 4th and everything bicentennial related.
Yes.
And you are correct. We touch on it in that episode. Absolutely. And so we might repeat ourselves. We don't know. But we're also excited to get your stories about what you remember about the bicentennial and what you did to celebrate.
It turns out there was so much that you won't even remember. Once we start triggering your memory, you'll be like, oh, yeah, that's right. And the Campbell's soup cans, and they had the little Betsy Ross. And like, how do we even know about Betsy Ross? I don't think they teach kids about Betsy Ross anymore. That's just us, because it was the bicentennial.
Right.
Who made the flag? You got to know, because it's the bicentennial. There were so many things to buy. So much, everything was red, white,
to
and
collect.
Blue. I had a pair of red, white, and blue plaid blue jeans because it was the bicentennial.
I want them again.
I do, too.
We were all in. It was just like, so great. All in. So I am really excited about that episode and to do some of my little rabbit hole digging, because I think there's going to be a lot of that.
Okay. About every other season or every few seasons, we like to add another episode to a series that is always a listener favorite. And that is a series called On Your FM Dial. And then we put in a year from the 80s, or AM Gold, and then that's a year from the 70s when AM radio was king. And then each of us chooses three songs that were released in that chosen year that meant something to us in one way or another. A song, I don't know, it could be a song that brings back a certain memory or that has a good story attached to it, or maybe it's just a song you loved during that year. There's really no rules. But what is so fun about these episodes, kind of like I just mentioned in the summer of 1980 about picking a year, what's so fun, besides all the great music we unearth, is that all three of us were different ages and at different stages of our lives during whatever year we chose. So the stories behind our song choices are all so fun and so varied. And we're bringing it back, guys, in season 19, and we are going back to 1978. And oh my Lord, that was a stellar year for music.
It's so, how will we choose?
How
will we're going to choose?
Because
we only get three choices each. How will we choose three songs?
I've been listening to the Hot 100. You know, you can just go on Amazon Music and you can type in like top songs 1978 and you get like the top 100 songs. Just listen to it on shuffle. You guys, almost every song, you're like, I love that song.
Yeah.
Or not just I love that song, but a memory comes back in your head of something.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to hear yours. I have a list of about six that I'm trying to narrow down to three right now. But yeah, we love that one. And we love that you all listening love it and that it prompts you to think about the way these songs from a certain year are attached to memories that you have.
These episodes always get really, really long. It doesn't seem like it's very complicated. It doesn't seem like that we would have much to talk about. When you're only talking about nine songs, how long can it take? We just can't stop is the problem. We can't stop.
Because you can't just choose three, because then we also all come with like a runners up list of like 10. And even though we're just like saying it, one of us will say a song and then the other two will be like, oh, yes, guess what happened when that song or whatever. So I think it's really fun, though. And I think it's really fun. We know it's really fun for our listeners, too. You know, we imagine you all driving along in your cars or on your walks or doing your laundry, shouting out at us, too.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, same. I roller skated to that song, too.
Oh, this is prime roller skating time.
That's where I'm going with my list because I can't not.
I'm a little bit, I'll be honest, trepidatious about this year because this is the year that we moved from Texas to New Jersey. So I'm going to have a lot of pangs from lot of the songs from, like, any song pretty much I heard after I knew we were moving. I found out we were moving probably April of my seventh grade year. And so for the rest of that school year and then that summer till we moved in August, any song that was playing during that time is going to be super bittersweet and interesting. So I haven't listened to any yet, and it will be really interesting to see what feelings kind of come up organically when I hear some of that music.
Well, and we've done AM Gold 1977 and 1979. Mm-hmm. So we've bookmarked this year.
Yeah.
So some of those songs, Carolyn, probably were still playing in 78. Now after this season's installment of this, we will have done 77, 78, and 79. Yeah.
This will be these episodes in general are the epitome of that reminiscence bump that we talk about all the time. We just talked about it in our light episode about the reset, mine was retro reset, the playlist that we made that were our medicinal playlist. And just like you said, Carolyn, all of those songs are going to be attached to feelings that you had in 1978, and you carry those with you into 2026. It's just so fascinating to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's going to be a good one, but I will have my box Kleenex handy, everybody, just so you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, after AM Gold 1978, this is a very interesting topic, and this one came up very organically. We get our ideas from a lot of places. Sometimes there are things that exist on a list and have been sitting there for a long time. Sometimes we get requests from listeners. This one came up organically and conversation when we were talking about a couple of TV shows. There was a very important thing that happened in TV history at a certain moment in time, right around the early 90s. And that was that Gen Xers started adulting on TV. There were TV shows that were aimed directly at one demographic, and it was us. Before that, TV shows tended to be directed at the whole family. The show would be about a family. The show would be about a soap opera about an entire town, the entire town of Pine Valley or whatever. This, for the first time, it was one tiny sliver of a demographic, and it was us, and it was as we were starting to become adults. And so we have some TV shows that were very important to us because of, again, we're all different ages, because of what we were doing at the moment that TV show was released, and it was speaking directly to us.
We're going to be talking about shows from about, 1994 to 1997?
1992 to 1997.
Okay.
Yeah, like early 90s, early to mid-90s. Is what we're talking. When a lot of us were coming of age, either we're all transitioning into something big that is beyond adolescence.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a good one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have a question for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. In what 1985 movie did Chevy Chase play an investigative reporter who goes undercover to track the... Let me finish the question.
Do I get bonus points?
No, you are eliminated.
Carolyn.
She's disqualified. Thank you. I'm the winner.
I already see how this episode is
going to
go.
Okay, I'm
going
to try really hard. I'll try really hard.
I'm going to start another question.
What episode are you talking? Okay. You skipped me.
No, I'm not. I'm just, I was setting it up with this.
Oh, got it. Okay.
I was setting it up with this.
Oh, sorry. Okay, keep going.
Okay, I'm going to start again.
Okay, please do.
It's a different question.
What if I know it? I have to wait until you're done talking?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know. It's not Jeopardy. So Jeopardy rules, you have to ring in as soon as you know.
Can put these are graduation rules. Okay. Wait till all the names have been said before
graduation rules. Okay, not Jeopardy rules. I'll raise my hand.
Okay.
Okay.
In the Men at Work song Down Under, a man smiled and gave him what to eat? Kristen.
A Vegemite sandwich.
A Vegemite sandwich. Okay, I have one more question. Name the two main couples on the 60s cartoon The Flintstones. Carolyn.
Oh, that would be the Rubbles.
Yes.
And that would be the Flintstones.
Perfect. I was like mouthing. Like, I was thinking and mouthing words at the same time.
Listeners, if you too knew the answers to the questions and were shouting them out before I finished reading them, like Kristen did, you're going to love this next episode that we have in season 19. We are playing a game, and it's an actual game. It's called Mind the Gap. And it's a great game to play. It's like trivia from all different generations. And it's a great game to play with several generations. Truly pull it out during the holidays and play it with everyone in the room, from great grandma down to your, Gen Z kid. But we love this game, and we haven't played a game in a hot second here, and so we're going to be playing this one. I have one more that I love this game, and I love the challenge cards. Are you guys ready for your challenge?
All right.
I have to hum something.
Ooh.
And it's going to be a song or a jingle or a theme song.
Okay.
Okay? Now I have to think of it. Now I have to see if
I would not be able to.
Okay. Kristen.
Theme song to Cheers.
You wanna be where people.
Everybody
yes,
knows.
Correct. Okay, so that's going to be fun. We're going to do basically just kind of, Kristen and I have the cards. Carolyn doesn't, so.
Yeah, and we need to have the rules very much spelled out, maybe sent out ahead of time so we can all study the rules, so we follow the rules.
Hi, everybody. Let's pause here because I want to tell you about two books that we've been reading. As you know, the three of us are always on the lookout for books with nostalgic vibes, and we had two land on our desk this week from best-selling author of many other sexy, messy, sort of erotic suspense novels, Kate Stewart. It's a duology, and they have to be read together. The first one is called Drive. That's out now, and the sequel, Reverse, is coming soon. So here's the funny part. The nostalgia we're talking about is the early 2000s. That's nostalgia now, people. And I'm really trying to wrap my head around it. So Drive follows a music journalist who's torn between two men. It's an angsty, steamy, rock star romance with a killer 2000s playlist. Okay, you had me at playlist, right? And the story will continue with Reverse. And in this one, the next generation uncovers secrets from the past and finds their own love story and their own playlist. The songs are important, and each chapter opens with a song that you'll remember and love. These books are for people who like Colleen Hoover, and they are spicy, you guys. They are sizzling, high, high spice. So if you're into sexy, spicy, dark rock star romances with a playlist, check them out. Drive is out now, and Reverse is coming soon.
Well, speaking of quizzes, I'm excited for this upcoming episode where I'm going to quiz Kristen and Michelle about TV weddings. Now, you might remember we have an episode about TV weddings and we're going to encore that. But I want to see, one, what they remember, if they remember, about some of the things we talked about. And I'm also going to throw in some questions just about 80s weddings in general and 90s weddings, like, you know, maybe how much the average wedding cost and some fun little facts.
Because that's when we all got married, right?
That's right. The 80s and the 90s.
Yep.
I was 89 and you guys were both.
I was 94.
That sounds like that's how old you guys were when you got
married. I was 94 when I got married.
We got married in 1993, so yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I'm going to give you some fun little facts and ask you guys some fun questions before we encore that episode about our favorite TV weddings. And we're doing this, listeners, because I am the first of the three of us to be the mother of a bride or groom. My daughter, my eldest daughter, Megan, is getting married. And I'm so excited for the wedding. But listeners, I got to tell you, I think I'm more excited to be with Michelle and Kristen because there have been very few times where we've been together where we could sing at the top of our lungs and dance like nobody's watching. And so, yeah, and I'm still on the fence. I think after we record this episode today, right now, I'm going to see, do we want to do any little choreographed something at the reception? So listeners, keep a listen out to see what if and what we do at the wedding. But
say less. Say less. You know the answer. I mean, I will come with a costume if needed.
I know you will.
Maggie, I hope you're not listening to this.
He said something about, start over, Kristen. We were talking about Saturday Night Fever, and he said, well, of course you know the choreography to that little dance floor piece when he does his solo. I was like, no, I don't. I actually don't know that. I don't know. That's not a thing people generally do. But then I was like, but why wouldn't we learn it?
Wow.
Can't we all be John Travolta? We should all be John Travolta at least once in our lives.
Well, listeners, you might remember from way back in the beginning, I don't have any dance chops or skills or whatever. And, you know, Kristen and Michelle just, as I've said many times, will just drop these ball change step deshuffle French words. I don't even know what they mean. Yeah, those things. And so I've always said I would be the lead singer and they would be the backup ones because they would do all the dances and I would just have to
stand there
with the microphone. Yeah. So we'll figure something out and just stay tuned. Who knows?
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm laughing already. We're going to put mom out front. The mother of the bride goes out front. We'll be the backup dancers. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the next one after that is something that we actually told you was coming last season. So bear with us, people. It could be that all of this is going to change too. Like, this is not a contract or anything. Things come up and we change our schedule or a new topic will drop in our laps and we shuttle something off to the next season. So we were going to talk about this last time. We've put it over into this time, which is great because it gives you more time to send us your stories about your parents and their Gen X style parenting. The next episode will be Gen X parenting style stories. You know, the kind like, how did you break into your house because everybody was at work and you left your key at home and there was nobody to call. There was nobody, like, you just sort of took care of things on your own. And when you broke a window to get in and your mom came home and nobody really cared. I mean, it was distinctly different. You all remember the story. I've told this 10,000 times about how my parents left my brother and I in a diner at a casino in Reno so they could go play blackjack. I was 7 and he was 4, and that was normal. There was nothing with that.
Well, I did it. I'm right with you. I'm surprised we didn't, like, actually, we should go back and think. Did we make a little friend back then? Like, in your memory, are you like, there was this little brown-haired girl and her older sister who were also sitting on the step of the smoky casino.
Yeah,
by themselves while their parents gambled. That was you.
Let's just totally say
that's the greatest. We have gotten so much mileage out of that story, though.
I
mean, that is the greatest story with our Tony Tennille lookalike and all that.
So we want to hear stories from you. We know that you have them, too, because this is the way parents were doing things. Our stories are not special. Everybody has the same thing. We're not talking about your sad stories of neglect. We're talking about the hilarious things that we look back in retrospect and go, Mama, what were you drunk? Like, what's going on? Just the things that all of our parents did that we thought was normal at the time.
Exactly.
And the pendulum swung, and now we're horrified by it.
Let's make sure to keep it light, people, with your stories. We don't need your trauma. This isn't trauma dumping.
This isn't, no, it's not trauma.
This is going to be the stories that are light that you're not scarred by. We know we all have those too, but
yes,
that's
a different episode.
You don't,
that's a different,
but
that's a different episode.
Different podcast.
Mm-hmm. Our Gen X traumas.
Yes, I'm excited. I already reached out to my mom and I said, maybe you can be a little guest on with me, Mom, and we can chat about some of my memories of some of your, questionable Gen X parenting.
It's funny. We talked about that a couple of days ago. Should we ask our parents about it? And so Carolyn's going to talk to Lily and see what Lillian has to say. I'm not talking to Linda because Linda has also swung. Her pendulum has also swung. And every time I come to her with a story like this, she'll be like, I did not. I would never have done that. I kept an eagle eye on you kids. I'm like, I don't think you did. Yeah.
It would have depended for me, my mom, it would have depended what I brought up with her. Some she would get very sensitive and touchy about, but some things she would laugh and go, oh yeah, absolutely.
Sure. Right.
I do think she would deny that I held her mixed drinks driving around in the car, that she handed me the vodka tonic to hold so we didn't slosh. And that is 100% accurate, though, because my sister also can corroborate that.
There's one line, we have to make sure that you tell this story again in the episode, Michelle, because I just repeated this to Mike and he just about lost his teeth. When we were talking about the dinners that we would make for each other when we were at home alone because our parents were working, or maybe they were out, who knows? And, we were 7, so we were too old for a babysitter. And you talked about making your mom dinner when she came home, and it would be an avocado filled with salsa and then what, a gin and tonic? You would mix your mom's drink for when she came home.
Oh, absolutely. We had to. She expected it.
Yeah.
And Fritos. For some reason, it was for Fritos.
Avocado. Yeah. Salsa.
You take the pit out and it
Fritos,
makes a perfect salsa bowl,
vodka
which
tonic.
Is actually a pretty pro tip, right? Like a pretty, if you just want some like little, like do it yourself guac, but for one.
And the vodka tonic.
But don't forget the vodka tonic.
Don't forget the vodka tonic, children.
That's right.
You need to send us your stories.
Yes, please. Mm-hmm. We look forward to hearing those and knowing that we weren't alone. That's the best part of all this, too. It's like, you too. Okay. Oh, that's so great. Well, listeners, you better get ready to break out those boat shoes and your Lacoste polos, because we are doing an episode that I have been probably waiting for since day one to do. We're going to take a deep dive into the official preppy handbook and that unmistakably preppy aesthetic that kind of ruled part of the 80s. It was a lifestyle that was both tongue-in-cheek and, for some, I'm not mentioning any names, but for some, aspirational, right? Because full disclosure, you guys, this was my Bible. And not just for the 80s. I think it was on my shelf, quick to refer to, pretty much through the 90s, maybe, like through married life. Like, oh, what should I name my dog? Like, bad names. I know, it's going to be bad. Kristen's going to make fun of me. It's just going to be a hoot and a half. But I am so excited. And I know there are listeners out there, Claire, I'm looking at you. I feel like that can totally relate to some of my feelings about that book and that whole time in our
And this will be so interesting, because all three of us at this time were in different regions of the country.
Well, this
you
is true.
You were now on the East Coast. I was in the Midwest. Michelle, you were somewhere on the West Coast or Southwest.
Yeah, we don't
somewhere
know.
On the
we
you were on the left side. You
drop
were on the
pin.
Left
you
side.
You were the part where it would be really uncomfortable to wear a Fair Isle sweater with a turtleneck underneath wool, kilt or something.
And I'm fascinated to know how that will differ. Mm-hmm. How our opinions or how we utilize the book, how we view the book, how does it change based on where you grew up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that
because you were kind of in the thick of it, Carolyn.
Right. I mean,
or
it
at
was
least
kind
adjacent. You were adjacent.
Yeah,
to,
I mean,
know,
it wasn't.
New England.
It was from. Yeah, again, aspirational is probably the best way to describe how that whole era and that book affect me. So we'll hear about it, and just let's not make fun of people, okay, everybody? Let's just say it now. Because it's real.
We don't do that anyway.
Yeah,
no.
All right. Well, we've been saying we'd have a conversation about this movie for years. And surely we're going to finally have it in season 19. Yes, we are. And don't call me Shirley. That's right, everyone. We're talking about one of the hits of the summer of 1980. Spoiler alert for that upcoming episode. Airplane. We've mentioned scenes from Airplane many times over the past 260 plus episodes, but we're finally going to hop aboard that plane. Don't worry, we're not going to eat the fish. And I cannot wait. I expect lots of hilarity. And actually, I kind of expect this episode to go off the rails, and that's okay because of what we're going to be talking about. Like, it is so ridiculous. I'm really excited to rewatch it before we record this episode, because I bet it's been 10 plus, 15 plus years since I've seen it. Except for, you always see clips. Like, you always see the landing, like with the blow-up pilot and all that kind of stuff on different things. I'm excited to watch it. I'm excited to talk about it with you guys, to talk about just all the goofiness and the one-liners and just
really
celebrate it.
I learned so much.
Yeah,
I learned a lot of innuendo.
Don't play a guitar while you have an IV in.
Yeah.
Someone sitting next to you with an IV.
I learned what a blowjob was.
Gosh. Mm-hmm. And every time you looked up, it was somebody else you knew from a show.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You talk about it was like Love Boat on speed or something.
It's
going to
be a fun and funny, silly conversation.
Yeah.
So if you're a fan of Airplane, don't miss that one.
Okay. And last but not least, here's another episode that we talked about before we even started this podcast almost 6 years ago. And finally, now the time has come. And this is going to be a big one. It's so big, it's going to take up two episodes. And that is that we are going to finally be celebrating The Croft Super Show. We've talked about Saturday morning cartoons before, but this deserves its own episode. It deserves two episodes all by itself. And for some people, it wasn't on Saturday morning. It would have come more in the afternoon. For a lot of us, The Croft Super Show was something that felt a little bit more grown up than Saturday morning cartoons. It felt like we were watching something for not quite grown-ups. It was a little irreverent. It was funny, and it was not babyish. And we felt like we were, and it was a little psychedelic. So we felt like we were dipping our toe. Yeah, right? just a tad psychedelic. And so in our first episode, we're going to do a deep dive on who the Croft brothers were and what they created and what the origin of this wackadoodle show was. Where did this come from? It was unlike anything we had ever seen before. How did they do it? And how did they get the go-ahead to do it? And nobody copied them either. Nobody, I don't think, anyway. There's nothing, because it was too crafty. It was so crafty that no one could even imagine making something to compete with it. And then the second part of the episode will be a top 10 list of your favorite shows on the Croft Super Show. So we need to hear from you again. So be watching that on our social media channels. We're going to be asking you, what was the Croft Super Show, the show within a show, that you would not miss?
And it's really timely, this episode, sadly.
Yes, it is.
Right? Because Sid just recently passed away. And I feel so sad about that because he was a fan of our social media page. He many times liked posts, especially usually around Halloween, or maybe not even around Halloween. I'll always do a witchy poo post. He always loved that one. He liked many of our posts that didn't have anything to do with a Croft show. He commented on posts before, and we always meant to have him on. And we actually reached out at one point and he said yes. But then we couldn't make it happen. We couldn't get it together. So it was really sad to just see just a few weeks ago when we're recording this episode, it was just a few weeks ago that Sid passed away. Happily, he passed away from what we understand, peacefully, right? Like in a sleep. So just what a tremendous man. And we do actually know a few people personally who knew him and just couldn't speak more highly of him as a human, just the nicest, nicest guy. So we'll pay a little bit of a tribute to him for sure.
Well, and that's how this really came to be. It had been on the list for 6 years, but because of his death, it needed a tribute. We always intended to have this show be a tribute, but now time was of the essence. We needed to make sure that we heralded these people and what they created and what that meant to us as a generation. Because again, that style of show never popped up again. It never really popped up again, unless you're talking something like Mystery Science Theater 3000. Mystery, people help me. What is it called? Little puppets? Okay, never mind. It doesn't matter. but for children, nothing like that popped up ever again. Uh-huh. So we're super excited to do this one. I cannot wait, and I can't wait to hear what your favorite shows were too. So that's it. Maybe. We'll find out.
We reserve the right to remove one of these episodes
when at Rob any time. Calls or, yeah, or something like
or
that.
Or just because we're tired.
Mm-hmm. Or that. Yeah. So we're
We can change one out. Yeah.
Season 19 is going to be a banger. It's going to be a great summer. This will be all coming out in the summer of 2026. And our dates are lining up just perfectly to cover your entire summer. And that last Preppy Handbook episode should be your back to school episode, which for some reason pleases me a lot.
Oh, my God. Get out your Eastland, you know.
Oh, yeah. All the
your topsiders and tie those little knots just the right way.
So thank you so much for listening today. Thank you for anticipating these episodes with us. Thank you for being excited about what we have to say. We really appreciate you, and we look forward to sharing it all with you in season 19.
And to everyone supporting us on Patreon, thank you. Your generosity keeps the lights on and the memories rolling. Because of you, we get to keep revisiting the songs, movies, and cultural touchstones that helped raise us. It means more than we can say that you choose to spend your time and just a little bit of your money keeping this Gen X conversation alive. We're so grateful. And today we are giving a shout out to these patrons. Our newest patron, Ron. Welcome, Ron.
Hi, Ron.
Hi, Ron.
How you doing? Thanks for supporting us on Patreon. We have Nancy, Clint, Carol with an E, Carrie, Sherry or Cherie, C-H-E-R-I. My neighbor is spelled that way, but she's Cherie, so you could be Cherie or Sherry. Maybe you're my neighbor. Christina, Carolyn, Diane, Sherry, Mike, Tracy, Stella, Jennifer, Erica, Lisa,
Natalie, Nina, Gail, Melissa, and Elizabeth.
Thanks all. Oh,
that's just a very small part of our Patreon supporters. So thank you so, so much. If you also want to keep these conversations going, consider supporting us on Patreon. You get some extra content, bonus stuff, sneak peeks. It's really fun. Go to patreon.com and just search for Pop Culture Preservation Society.
We like to think that we are kind of your trapper keeper for pop culture, right? We are a little bit overstuffed, just kind of slightly, but at the same time, organized. Thank you, Michelle. And so if you love us like we think you do, we would like for you to let other people know about us. You can review us on whatever podcast platform you listen. You can give us stars. You can just spread the word and just tell everybody what fun you have when you listen. And it just, it's kind of like you're slipping a little note in our locker that just says, I like you a lot. Keep going. And we will.
So nice. So,
yeah. So thank you guys.
I loved to get notes. So thank you.
So send us a note, you guys.
Yes, thank you.
Send us a note. It really is. I mean, this is no joke. The number one way that our listenership grows is when you tell people about it. When we meet listeners in the wild, 9 times out of 10, they are with another person and they will say about this person, oh, this is my friend Jane. I just told her about your podcast. Now she's been listening. And then that person's a super fan. Yep. This is how we grow. It's super, super important. And we thank you.
And if you've already told all your friends in real life and you're like, well, now who do I tell? I know. Go on wherever you listen, like Carolyn said, and type out a review as if you're telling a friend why they should listen to the Pop Culture Preservation Society, because those help a ton.
Yeah. In the meantime, everybody, please raise your glasses for a toast courtesy of the cast of Three's Company. To good times.
To happy days.
To Little House on the Prairie.
Cheers.
Cheers.
The information, opinions, and comments expressed on the Pop Culture Preservation Society podcast belong solely to Carolyn, the Crushologist, and Hello Newman, and are in no way representative of our employers or affiliates. And though we truly believe we are always right, there is always a first time. The PCPS is written, produced, and recorded in Minneapolis, Minnesota, home of the fictional WJM Studios and our beloved Mary Richards. Nanu Nanu, keep on truckin', and may the force be with you.
Before we dive into today's trip down memory lane, a quick shout out to the fine folks at Remind Magazine, who help keep the nostalgia train rolling. This season, the Pop Culture Preservation Society is proudly sponsored by Remind, the publication that understands your collection of Tiger Beat magazines, TV guide issues, and random lunchboxes is not clutter, it's history. We love when Remind lands in our mailboxes and we can enjoy that analog experience of flipping through its pages and reading all about the classic TV shows and movies and music and all of those pop culture treasures that made us who we are. And as an exclusive offer to PCPS listeners, you can get a full year of Remind magazine for just $12. That's 86% off the cover price. Just go to remindmagazine.com/pop. That's remindmagazine.com/POP. And you can take advantage of this incredible offer. Trust us, you will be so glad you did.